Genesis chapter 15. You know, one of the great things that God, and it's kind of interesting if you're listening carefully to the manifestations, because he always kind of prepares you for the teaching, I guess. We talked about how we are to hold fast to the word and how he has delivered us and will continue to deliver us. You know, and we hear a lot of consistency in manifestations, don't we? God continually goes over a lot of stuff that we need to hear, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't hear it over and over. And one of the great messages in God's word to God's people is that we are not to have fear. We're not to fear not. Even in the world, you know, people talk about, you know, one of the worst things you can do is make decisions out of fear or when you are fearful. You shouldn't make a decision out of fear. So anyway, we shouldn't do anything out of fear. We should believe God. And this is one of the things we were taught early on in the Word. You know, fear is not something that comes from God. It's not where we want to go. The opposite of fear is believing God. So that's one of his messages. He says, fear not, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. Way back in the Old Testament, and the first place I could find it here was in Genesis 15, verse 1. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So God says, don't be afraid. Now, this is already after God has promised many things to Abram in chapter 12, where he talks about, you know, he's called him, he's going to be a great nation. He'll bless them that bless him and curse them that curse him, and all nations of the earth would be blessed. And then, you know, Abram goes along, and then God comes back to him and he says, fear not, I will be thy shield and exceeding great reward. And what's a shield? Protection, right? And great reward. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Now we know that Abram, later to be called Abraham, because God changed his name, you ever, you know, sometimes people change their name, you know, and they change it for whatever reason, you know, they maybe go by one name or some, everybody knows, like everybody knows Kip is Kip. Does anybody know his real name?
Yeah,
Lawrence. Yeah, Lawrence. He probably hit me for saying that, but...
He's online.
Is he? Sorry, Kip.
Beth is Margaret.
Yeah, Beth is Margaret. You know, people have different names. Rob used to be Larry, right? And then he decided he liked Rob better, you know? But in this case, God changed his name, you know? He said, okay, you're not Abram anymore, you're Abraham. And... of course, it had to do with the promises he gave him and the things he did for him. Let's go to Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear thou not. Wow, that's pretty cool. He's talking here to Israel, people of Israel. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That's pretty great for God to send that message. Well, we kind of heard some of that same stuff today, didn't we? You know? He's our God. He's our Father. He called us to be children because he wanted us. You know, he didn't call us just for no reason, but because he wanted us to be his children, and he knew that we would believe. He says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a lot of promises there, isn't it? That's a lot of cool things. Fear not, for I am with thee. Well, if you know that God's with you, why would you have any fear? Every time you have fear, you're saying, hey, God, you're not really with me. But he is, isn't he? He's always, even when you're afraid, he's with you. But you're just kind of tying his hands. He can't work as well when you're fearful. And then he says, I am thy God. Well, he's more than our God, but he is our God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold. When you see behold, what does that mean? Yeah, pay attention. Listen. Behold. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Anybody messes with you, they're going to end up being ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You know, he says it twice, fear not, I will help thee. Let's go back to Genesis 26. What a cool God. You know, he doesn't want us to be what?
Fearful.
Afraid, fearful. He does not want that for his children. Chapter 26, verse 24. This is where God is talking to Isaac, the son of Abram, right, or Abraham. And he says, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. For I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And so what did Isaac do? He built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. Called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged the well. I don't know what the well has to do with anything, except they were staying there for a while. I guess they needed some water. But again, God's message to Isaac was what? Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. I'll be with you. God's always there for us. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 1. See, it's throughout the Old Testament, and this has already covered thousands of years, you know. Or hundreds of years, anyway. And verse 21, this is, you know, chapter 1, verse 21. This is where Moses is giving the last instructions to Israel before they go into the promised land, and he's giving it by revelation, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Moses was definitely moved by the Holy Spirit. He was the great lawgiver, the great redeemer of Israel. And in verse 21, it says, Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. So here he says, fear not, neither be discouraged. We're not to be discouraged. You know what discouraged is the opposite of?
Encouraged.
Right? It's the opposite of encouraged. And so God's really saying this in a negative form, but what's he really saying to him? Fear not, don't be discouraged, meaning be encouraged. You know, have no fear. Go in and get the land that I promised you, that I told you I would give you. Pretty amazing. And, you know, God always encourages us, doesn't he? You know, manifestations are one of the things manifestations for is for encouraging us, you know, to build us up, to encourage us. Let's go to chapter 3. What a great God, you know. He doesn't beat us over the head. He didn't tell us how rotten we are. He doesn't tell us how stupid we are. He does remind us that we're human. And that we need him, but he encourages us. And he tells us how wonderful we are and how much he loves us. In chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest." Okay, he's talking about Og and Zion, and or S-I-H-O-N, I think, and Og. And they were kings, and when they were coming through the wilderness, those kings gave Israel trouble, and God wiped them out, just took care of them. So God reminds them. He says, remember? He said, those kings, well, I'm going to do unto those kingdoms that you're of the land you're going into, I'll take care of those kingdoms just like I took care of those other kingdoms. Verse 22, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. The Lord God shall fight for you. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, you know, the enemy of Syria came, and God said, don't worry. Just, I'm going to fight the battle for you. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. Right? He sent an angel to tell him that. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. You know, God's going to fight the battle for you. So here he goes. He said, you know, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Well, of course, no God can do according to what God does, because God can do all things, and he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he says he'll fight our battles. Let's go to chapter 20. Now, why did God spend so much time in Deuteronomy saying all this stuff and going over stuff with Israel? Well, because they were so dopey for 40 years in the wilderness. You know, God brought them out of Egypt. He showed them all these mighty things. And they were out there about 2 days and they said, God brought us out here to die. Yeah. And then they saw the Egyptian army come and he parted the Red Sea and they went across the Red Sea. And then they got to the other side and they saw the Egyptian army destroyed. And then they said, God brought us out here to die. They kept moaning and groaning and thinking that God wasn't going to take care of them. And then they complained because they were running out of food and water. And then water comes out of a rock, and they go out and they collect the manna every day. And then they get mad at God because all they get is manna. So then he sends doves for a month, so much so that they get sick of them. You know, and it goes on and on and on and on. And then they get to the promised land, and they send the spies over, and they say, what a great land it is. But they say, the people are too great for us, and we're like grasshoppers, and they're like giants, and they'll squish us like bugs. And so then they couldn't go in, and they had to wander, and they had to wait for 40 years to go into the promised land. And so then finally they get to Deuteronomy, and now it's their time to go in. And so Moses rehearses the whole history of what God has done for them, establishes some of the things in the law that they need to do when they go in, and he encourages them. And in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, and when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest the horse and the chariots and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. So you're going to go and you're going to see armies that are greater than yours, and they have horses and chariots and atomic bombs and machine guns and whatever else they have. Don't be afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he reminds them of Egypt. He reminds them of, you know, what did he do in Egypt? Well, he sent the plagues, right? And so then the Egyptians basically said, get out of here, and they gave him money to leave. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. God bless you. You need a tissue? Okay.
Just got my shirt.
Okay. Be not terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You know, how much clearer could he be? How many times does he have to say it? You know, how many times do we have to hear it? Don't be afraid. God's with you. God will fight your battles. You just got to let him. You know, he's there. There's not to be any fear. There's not to be any anxiety when we face a crisis. You know, God loves us. He takes care of us. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. You know, we don't have to fight the battles. All we have to do is show up. Really, that's all we have to do. Luke chapter 1. This is, you know, concerning Mary. And what was Mary? She was just this sweet little girl, maybe 14, 15 years old. That's all she probably was, because in biblical times they got married young. And, you know, the marriages were arranged by their parents. And so here's Mary, and she's espoused to Joseph. And verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. The sixth month would be the sixth month after God came to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth got pregnant with John the Baptist, right? So it was about the sixth month. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And the highly favored is a form of the word of grace. You know, you found grace in the sight of God, basically is what he's saying. Highly favored, or you found great grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, if an angel showed up and said that to you, you'd say, what's going on here? What's this all about? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You found favor or grace with God. First thing the angel says to her after he greets her is, fear not. You know, don't be afraid. This is a good thing. Fear not. God's with you. And, you know, what he tells her is going to put her in a very strange and difficult situation, isn't it? You know, according to society and culture. And that's why when you read in the other Gospels, when then the angel goes to Joseph, because Joseph is going to put her away privily, he could have embarrassed her publicly, but he was going to put her away privately. And the angel says, no, don't do that, because this is God's plan, and just go with it. And so Joseph is pretty cool, too. But he says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the king, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he goes on, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And then Mary said in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She had no fear. She said, be it according to the word of God. You know, and that's what God wants us to do, doesn't he? He wants us to hold fast to God's word. You know, that's what gets rid of fear, God's word. You know, and he said these things to these people, and they were, she said, I'm the handmaid of the Lord, right? Which meant she was that's the female or you know, the female form of doulos. She was a handmaid, a female servant. And Abraham and Isaac and Moses and Israel were called servants of God. But we are God's children. And he emphasized that in the Mount of Stations. We are his children. He called us to be his children. He's our Father. And he would rather that we trust him. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. He's called us with a great and special calling. He's called us to be his sons. And he encourages us, and he's given us assurance of those things. You know, Abraham, what did Abraham have? He only had the revelation from God. He didn't have a written word to go by. You know, God appeared to him in visions or in dreams or sent angels, but he didn't have a written word to look at. He didn't have manifestations in other believers to encourage him. All he had was the promises of God that God gave him to hold on to. It's pretty crazy when you think about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have the Spirit of God. Why did God give us the Spirit? So that we would know. You know, well, that's one of the reasons, not the only reason. You know, it's his seed. He put his seed in us. But it's a proof to us that we are his children. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, we're not to fear. We're not supposed to be in bondage to fear. Fear always puts you in bondage. You know, if you have fear of things, it holds you back from doing things, doesn't it?
It's false evidence appearing real.
Yes, false evidence appearing real. Thank you. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of, and the word adoption is, sonship. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It bears witness. It testifies to us that we are the children of God. It is our proof. It is our guarantee that we are his children, that we have eternal life. And if we are his children, then we don't have to have fear, do we? You know, I just remember as a kid, when I was with my mom and dad, I always felt safe. I don't know about you guys, but I just know that I always did. When I was with my mom and dad, I knew they would protect me, you know, when I was a little kid. When I got older, you know, I was bigger than they were. I protected them, I guess. But when I was a little kid, you know, I just knew my dad would take care of me. He'd watch over me. He'd protect me. I always felt safe with my mother and father. Then it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, we're going to be glorified together with Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You know, what's a cool thing? When you really understand God, when you really understand God and you understand Christianity and what he did for us, and then you look at religion, and you know, some Christian religions, denominations, and all of the religions, works have to do with fear. Works have to do with fear because you have to work to get things from God. And if you don't do the works, what happens? You don't get them. You know? You have to work to get to heaven, and if you don't do the right works, you're going to hell. That's fear, isn't it? That's fear motivation. Well, I got to do the right things, otherwise I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get through the gate. That's the popular, right? The pearly gate. Peter's standing there checking off the list, the roster. You know, that's all fear. You know, grace is what? Grace. There's no fear in grace because it's a gift. Have you ever been afraid to open a Christmas gift? You can't wait to open it, right? You rip it apart and it's all, somebody takes all that time to wrap them beautifully and then you rip it apart because you want to see it. There's no fear in love. Chapter 1, verse 7 of 2 Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. There's no love, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. God is love. So what's his message to us? Fear not. You have to ask yourself, why am I afraid? Why would I want to be afraid? Why do I put up with fear? Why do I tolerate fear in my life? Why do you want to worry? It uses up a lot of energy, you know, that you could use for other things, more positive. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, put on, be strong in the power of the Lord. Let's see. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I wasn't really reading, I was just talking. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, how strong is God? How powerful is God? How mighty is God? We read last week, El Shaddai, right? Almighty God. He's almighty, omnipotent, as the theologians say, which means all-powerful. He's omnipotent. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the conspiracies, the tricks, the plans, the plots, the scams of the devil. Because that's really what he is. He's a scam artist. Because he tries to get you afraid and tries to get you to think other than what God says. That's what he does. And so we're to put on the whole armor of God. You know, how are we to stand strong? How are we to be unfearful? How are we to be courageous? Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. God tells us. He tells us how to be strong. He tells us. Deuteronomy, Joshua, chapter 1. God tells us how to be strong. In verse 5, God talking to Joshua. Joshua has been with Moses for 40 years, right? Goes through the wilderness. He's Moses' right-hand man. He ministers unto Moses. You know, Moses is doing all the work. He's doing all the talking. He's doing the miracles, and he's the big shot. And Aaron's kind of helping him, but Joshua's there, and he's getting Moses' slippers, and he's doing this and that for Moses, and then he goes with the spies and all that other stuff. But then Moses dies, and who's taken over? Joshua. That's pretty, you know, wow. What a job, you know? It's like if you're vice president and the president dies. Most vice presidents don't think they'll ever be president. You know, it's like a political favor job, you know. You get to live in a house, you get all these perks, and you're supposed to convene the Senate, but you don't really do anything. It's really a do-nothing job, except you do whatever the president tells you to do. So you go and you speak at different things, you raise money, you look good, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, that's kind of what Joshua, he was great. He ministered to Moses and he was faithful. But when Moses died, here's Joshua and he gets the job. I don't know that he was asking for it or praying for it, but he got it. So in verse 5, God encourages him like he encourages us. He says, there shall not be any man able to stand against thee all the days of thy life. Wow, that's a great promise, isn't it? See, Ellie's really excited about this. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Have you ever heard that in manifestations?
Yes, all the time, a million times.
Why? Well, it's true, number one, and because God loves us, and he doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He doesn't want us to be fearful or dismayed. Then he goes on and he says, you know, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. So you're thinking, okay, I got to start working out. I got to bulk up. Got to start eating right. I got to start doing all the things to be strong and of a good courage. What does it mean to be courageous? Well, you know, God defines things. You know, and in the context here, he tells us how to be strong and courageous. He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So here's the job I'm giving you. He says, be strong and of good courage, because you got a job to do. So you're going to need to be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. So how is he to be strong and very courageous? To do all the word of God that God gave Moses. How are we? Well, it said to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, how are we strong in the Lord? By understanding the promises of God and believing them. Standing on his word. Turn not from it. To the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, you'll prosper. And I was talking to Andrew in my office this morning. We were talking about being successful. You know, and just from the word, this is what I know successful is. In life, everybody's going to have good days and bad days. You're going to have good things and bad things happen. And what makes you successful is how you handle it in your brain. How you handle things in your brain is really what makes you successful in life. It's not the amount of money you make or the amount of things you amass or anything else. It's how you handle day-to-day life and when you get bad things and good things. When you have good things, you don't get too high, and when you get bad things, you don't get too low. But you take it to the word and you say, okay, when it's good things, I'm thankful to God that things are great and it's his blessings upon my life. And when things go crappy, I know that God's going to get me out of the situation. He's going to bless me and deliver me. We heard that before. He has delivered and will deliver and does deliver, because God is a God of deliverance. So we don't have to be afraid. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And you know, we learn that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God-breathed, for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness. All scripture, we can learn from all scripture. You know, we can be encouraged by all scripture. We can have hope according to all scripture, because it all tells us what God's done for us, what he will do for us, and what he set out before us. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's God. God doesn't take days off. He doesn't go on vacation. Remember in the Old Testament when Elijah was up on the mountain and the prophets of Baal are yelling and screaming and cutting themselves and praying for the fire to come down from their god Baal, and nothing happens. They go on for hours and hours till they're exhausted and bleeding and sweating. And Elijah says, maybe you need to yell a little louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Or maybe he took a trip. God's always there for us. He never forsakes us. He never takes a moment off. His ears are always open to our prayers. Always, always, always. When Solomon dedicated the temple, one of the things he prayed to God and he thanked God for is he said, Look at Israel all these years, and you have not failed to bring to pass one single word that you've promised us. Not one word of God's promises fails. Not one iota. What a great God. Okay. I have more verses here. I don't know. Let's go to Psalm 27. We'll close there. I just have a lot of verses on this stuff because it's everywhere. Psalm 27. My wife thinks this is her psalm personally, but, you know, it's not. It belongs to all of us. It says, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation is wholeness, deliverance. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This is a psalm. This is a psalm of David. And, you know, David had a lot of enemies. And there were times when he wasn't in power. God had anointed him king, but there was already a king, and he wasn't ready to give up the throne. So he continually hunted David and tried to kill him. So David said, the Lord is my strength, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, you know what it says about us in Ephesians, Rock? We together are God's habitation. You know, we're always in God's house. We're always in God's presence. God's always with us. We have Christ in us, and it's God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. One thing I have desired, okay, I read that, verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek thee. We have access unto the Holy of Holies. We can go before the throne of grace with all boldness. Verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Okay, he's saying this in a prayer, but we already have that promise, don't we? Mm-hmm. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will never put us away because we're his children forever. You know, David didn't have that promise. If he screwed up, he could have been done. He could have been out. That's what happened to Saul, right? God made Saul king. He set him above his people. And then Saul got too big for his britches, as they say. He got on his high horse and he fell off. And so he was done. And then David had to take over. So David was a little more humble, a little more meek. He knew that he had to serve God. But God has promised us that he will never forsake us. We are his children forever. We can never stop being his children. You could get up and walk out of here today and say, I'm not a Christian anymore. Well, you can say that all you want, but you still are. It's like, you know, you can't get rid of the DNA in your genes, can you? In your blood. It's yours whether you like it or not. Oh, man, why did my dad have to be... My Johnny used to get mad at Stella because she's short. He says, I better not be short because of you. You know,
he'd throw me off a bridge.
Yeah.
If he didn't hit 6 foot.
You know, you can't get rid of those genes no matter what. It's just what you got. But we have Holy Spirit. You can't get rid of that, can you? It's what you got. It's your spiritual DNA. So God is our salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And you know, you could get disowned by your father and mother, but God will never give you up. He'll never let go of you. He'll never forsake you. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, or false witnesses are risen up against me as such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, meaning, you know, stand fast on the Lord, you know, wait on him, serve him, be true to God, and he will strengthen you. He will watch over you. Let's go to Romans. I lied. Romans 8 again. Romans 8, verse 31. Written to us, his children. Remember, we just read before, we're heirs and joint heirs. We've been called to sonship. And then verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, no matter who our enemies are, no matter what is against us, no matter who's against us, no matter what they say, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How much did God love us? Well, he sent his son for us. He was so willing, he made the ultimate and complete commitment and sacrifice to us because he loved us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. You know, God justifies us. Then it goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of God? And it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's why we never have to have fear. God's message to his people is continually throughout the word, from the very early days right through till the gathering together, is that we never have to have fear. We are to fear not. We look to God, be strong and courageous, and we're strong and courageous by holding fast to his word and looking to him in every situation.